If you're ready to elevate your level of care and professional satisfaction, register today for the Trusted DPC event that can help get you where you want to go. With three physician-led tracks focusing on starting a DPC practice, growing a DPC practice, and clinical expertise within a DPC practice, the Direct Primary Care Summit has content for anyone, no matter where you are in your DPC journey. The DPC Summit is happening June 20th to 23rd in Dallas, Texas. Learn more and register today at dpcsummit.org. Direct Primary Care is an innovative, alternative path to insurance-driven healthcare. Typically, a patient pays their doctor a low monthly membership and, in return, builds a lasting relationship with their doctor and has their doctor available at their fingertips. Welcome to the My DPC Story podcast, where each week you will hear the ever-so-relatable stories shared by physicians who have chosen to practice medicine in their individual communities through the direct primary care model. I'm your host, Marielle Conception, family physician, DPC owner, and former fee-for-service doctor. I hope you enjoy today's episode and come away feeling inspired about the future of patient care, direct primary care.
I am a DPC pediatrician. I was always told that these days, doctors don't start their own practices. They work as employees only. Private practice is dead, and you must take insurance to be successful. And I'm living proof that that is all completely false. I am Dr. Vladimir Baraev, and this is my DPC story.
Dr. Vladimir Baraev, MD, FAAP, is a board-certified general pediatrician who specializes in autism. He is also a lactation counselor and father of two, who believes passionately in high quality and personal care for children. After graduating from the highly selective Sophie Davis School of Biomedical Education in New York, Dr. Baraev completed his medical degree at New York Medical College. He finished his pediatrics residency training at Cohen Children's Hospital in New Hyde Park, New York, and has spent years working in Washington Heights as well as Staten Island, New York. He now lives with his wonderful wife and children on Staten Island, and the family enjoys the opportunities to explore beautiful parks that the borough has to offer. He regularly practices yoga, high-intensity interval training, and meditation to live a mindful life. He continues to attend academic conferences to stay current with pediatric medicine and is affiliated with Staten Island University Hospital. His main areas of interest include autism, pediatric obesity, and asthma management. He is also interested in advancing the behavioral aspects of lifestyle by helping customize recommendations to individual families based on their preferences, needs, and the current biomedical literature supporting the use of these approaches. Dr. Baraev believes that good health is a result of good small daily habits. He believes that families should practice daily healthy activities that add up to powerful disease prevention over time. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Baraev.
Thank you so much, Marielle. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I was so excited to meet you in person last year at the Pediatric DPC Mastermind. And I just want to highlight that Dr. Baraev is somebody who is not a doctor who pursues passion, he pursues energy. And with his energy, he has been driven to become a DPC pediatrician. And at the time of this recording, he is the only doctor who is doing pediatric house calls in all of Staten Island. So again, welcome to the podcast. So great to talk with you again. I wanted to see if you could expand, though, a little bit on the statement of that you are not a doctor who pursues passion, but who pursues energy. And how did your energy lead to being a DPC pediatrician?
That's an excellent question. Well, ever since you're a small child, you hear the message. I know I heard it a lot when I was growing up. You have to pursue your passion, pursue what you like, pursue what you're interested in. The problem with that message is that you never really know what you like that much and what you want to do day in and day out and how you want to serve the world with your unique talents and attributes until you actually try it and see what energy levels it gives you in return for doing that activity. So healthcare and medicine, pediatrics, for me, has been the most energizing field. when I work with children, when I am reading boring research articles sometimes, when I am going to conferences and learning to perfect my craft, I am excited by things that would bore most people. And I think about how I can apply it and how I can help make someone's life better with this knowledge and this information. So this different perspective on the world, passion is what you think you'll like. And pursuing energy is what has in the past given you energy and served you so that you can continue to serve the world. That's the difference between pursuing passion and energy in my perspective.
Well, I'm sure that the listeners are just sitting here thinking that the ability to follow the energy also comes with the need for the time to have that energy be manifesting in care for your patients in your practice now. So that is a perfect pairing to a DPC practice that allows you the time that you need to take care of the patients, depending on what they need. So tell us about your community, because you're in Staten Island. You're the only doctor as of this recording who's doing pediatric house calls, which as a mom of two kids, if I had a pediatric house call doctor that wasn't me or my husband, I would be all over that stuff. So how, tell us about your community. What is unique about Staten Island?
Staten Island has often been referred to as the forgotten of New York's five boroughs because movies have been made about the other boroughs. Everyone knows about the Empire State Building in Manhattan. You've got so much popularity. The top two most popular boroughs as far as pop culture are Manhattan and Brooklyn. No question. Probably Brooklyn and above Manhattan even. That's where all the hip and cool people move. Then we have Queens and the Bronx, and they have their own stories and legacies. But Staten Island, of all of those boroughs, I've lived in three of those out of five boroughs now. And I can tell you from experience, Staten Island is the one borough where it is, because it's an island, even though there's 500,000 residents that live here, it feels like everyone knows everyone else. And there's such a sense of community and caring amongst the citizens of Staten Island. And there is always a sense of teamwork and camaraderie on Staten Island. Particularly, one thing you'll see is the generosity of the citizens that live in Staten Island. It's the most generous borough of all the five boroughs. Just recently, we set the world record twice, 2 years in a row, for making the largest size first human puzzle piece for autism awareness last year in 2023. And then we did it again this year with the largest human infinity symbol. So 2 years in a row, we broke the Guinness Book of World Records. So it's an international record official that, and these were events that, of course, got a lot of awareness towards autism, which is wonderful, and also raised a lot of funds. And I've seen it myself. The generosity and the kindness of the people on Staten Island is unparalleled anywhere else I've lived.
Stepping a little bit back into the energy bit, when we talk about energy and pursuing the energy, one of the things that helps us pursue the energy is knowing where we don't want to spend our energy. And so I want to see if you can tell the audience about what was going on in your life prior to opening.
So what was happening in my life prior to opening? I was working at a federally qualified health center, which was an amazing experience. I really enjoyed working there. But it had the same limitations as all of my previous work experiences, where the focus, unfortunately, doesn't come from the perspective of, well, what can I do as a medical professional with information, with a dedication to helping my patients achieve their health goals to actually help them, versus what resources do I have available, namely time, to help accomplish those goals. And there was always that imbalance. And no matter where I worked, I always noted that no matter how much I try to condense it, I spent 11 years of my life in undergrad, medical school, residency, obtaining medical knowledge. I'm not going to be able to regurgitate all of it in a 15-minute appointment. And a 15-minute appointment happens once every 12 months. That's just the expectation to be able to accomplish something without enough resources to meet your goals is laughable. It's ridiculous. And then on top of that, you want to add in having to do paperwork and documentation and learning CPT codes and learning the changes with CPT coding, documentation and electronic health records, rather than make the process smoother and easier, it just added more work and more time. And then I was frustrated because the families that would need to be seen at a particular time wouldn't be able to be seen on a given day. There were limited slots available. It was tough to get same day appointments. It was tough to get urgent visits. They'd have to see me 2 weeks later once their illness had resolved and then say, yeah, I was sick 2 weeks ago, but thank you for the appointment 2 weeks later. I appreciate it. And to me, that just felt wrong. It was what the term for this that was coined was moral injury. It was like, I know what I'm doing is wrong and I'm not okay continuing doing it. I'm just not okay. I know that I have student loans to pay back because I had to borrow money to go to school. I know that I have a family that I need to feed and support. But if I sacrifice my morals to meet those obligations, then I will have accomplished nothing because the means will never justify the ends. They never will. There is no such thing as mean justifying an end. The way you do one thing is the way that you do everything. And if you're willing to sacrifice your morals in obtaining one goal in life, you are more likely to sacrifice your morals in obtaining all of your objectives in life as well. So having that in the back of my mind and being very reflective on myself and seeing the person that I was becoming and seeing that I was proud of myself for seeing so many kids in a single day, like, wow, look at me. I could do it. But I didn't help a single one. I saw a lot. Yeah, good for you. I got them through the system. Yeah, I took care of urgent conditions. Yeah, but we live in the year 2024 now. The problems that I thought I would be dealing with when I was first entering medical school as a naive 18-year-old of dealing with these acute infectious illnesses and metabolic conditions and diagnosing cancers or anything like that, in reality, chronic conditions and lifestyle issues are the predominant suffering of our population these days. So the medical profession has to adapt to that and not use a quick fix acute care model to fix a chronically ailing and people suffering in a chronic perspective. It doesn't work. You're trying to you're using the wrong tool for the job. So understanding that and knowing that I need more time, not only time on an individual appointment with a family, I need the time longitudinally. I need the follow-up over multiple months to make sure that however I was guiding families, that we would be able, that I could continue to support them and to motivate them and to encourage them month in and month out so that they continue making progress. Because that in my personal experience, I learned that behaviors and habits don't change unless we have a renewed devotion and dedication to them. Our motivation wanes. It's going to wane for everyone. And if you're not having regular touch points with your motivators, then they'll just fizzle away. And you're like, I wonder why I didn't accomplish my goals.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Your calls for more content have not fallen on deaf ears. I am so excited to announce the My DPC Story Patreon community. Delve into exclusive full-length interviews with pioneers like Dr. Neeti Kapoor, our inaugural physician guest, and get further enlightening insights from our current season's doctors, starting with Dr. Harpreet Sui. Hear our guests share even more, from their worst days to their best days and everything in between. Get access to this treasure trove of conversations and more by joining our My DPC Story community now. Check out the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/MyDPCStoryFan. That's patreon.com/MyDPCStoryFan. So relatable. And especially when you talk about acute care being the option that many people have for chronic issues because they don't have access. I mean, that's where we hear so much frustration from emergency room physicians
the ER physicians who have transitioned to doing ER and DPC or just DPC who have been on this podcast. Dr. James Gaor, Dr. Brian Ostick, Dr. Pete Cascio, great examples. Now, when it comes to you realizing that, wow, this is absolute moral injury, this is not the right thing for me to be doing for me or my patients or my family, what was it that led you to find DPC?
The first thing that I looked at was trying to work within the system to improve it. I thought that someday I would be able to open my own regular primary care office, insurance-based fee-for-service office, and I'll be able to make a large difference. When you crunch the numbers and you look at the reality of that, it didn't seem like a viable option at all. And while I was doing my research, I come across a YouTube video and I see a speech given by someone and I hear him talk about DPC and I hear the enthusiasm and the just plain common sense approach that he speaks with and explains the DPC model and why this, if you're interested in doing true preventive health, and what are pediatricians if not the ultimate in preventive care? I would never disparage my colleagues in neither OBGYN nor in family medicine in primary care, because all of those are extremely essential in preventing disease and illness. But when it comes to pediatrics, it is the starting point of a child's life that they're exposed to the environment and learning habits, which will either help them or harm them years down the road. You know that saying, show me who your friends are and I'll show you who you are. Well, with a child, we can say, well, show me what your diet is and I can show you your future cardiovascular health with alarming precision. And the habits that led you to build the diet that you have now are also changeable. They're not permanent. But in order to change them, I need to, one, change your mindset to make you believe that you can change. And two, if you're not ready to change, I'm going to back off. And I'll come back and we'll reengage in a few weeks, in a few months, when you're ready for more serious change talk. But either way, I will always be there in the background, ready for you when you are ready to protect yourself in this world that is constantly trying to bring us down with illness, because that is the trajectory of the human body, is to slowly but surely become more brittle over time. It is nature's way. It's nothing wrong with it. We just don't want an accelerated demise of our bodies in any way, or we don't want a shortened health span in our lifetime at all.
I think about how I'm a big believer in, yes, our kids go to school and yes, they learn stuff, but at the same time, we're responsible for their education. And that includes education on lifestyle. And so I think that especially when we're the ones who are guiding our kids in food choices, how to cook, how to do laundry, all of these things go together in terms of making them people who can cope later on with whatever comes their way. So let me ask you there, as you discovered, wow, there's this model out there, did you talk to somebody then who was specifically a pediatrician doing DPC?
So when I first discovered this model, I contacted several family medicine doctors about setting it up. And I binged as many YouTube videos as I possibly could about the DPC movement. And I said, this is incredible. I feel some energy here. Henceforth, I'm going this way. This is way beyond passion. There's some energy happening here. I need to go the DPC route. And I have never been happier. I've never looked back. Then I started looking, are there any DPC doctors in my area that I can reach out to? And so a year after I started my journey of like looking into it and researching, there was a doctor who had opened his practice. And that was Nitin Gupta, who is a very close and dear friend of mine, who there is not enough gold, riches, or joy in the world that could ever repay how much he has helped me along my journey to establish myself in the DPC world. I will always be in debt to Nitin for his mentorship. He basically showed me, you know, New York State, the laws are different here. we can't do things that they can do in other states, such as dispensing medications, for example. But you know something, Vlad? The patients don't really care. They still get the bulk of the DPC, even if they're not, if you're not dispensing their meds. We're in a state where 99% of children are covered either by Medicaid or by private insurance. So an uninsured child will be hard to find. And it's true. In my area, 99% of kids are covered by something. So the different approach that we have to take as pediatricians, the value propositions that we give, is not going to be that we're going to replace your health insurance, that you don't really need to take the place of it for those who are uninsured. We're going to more so be a supplement to provide you with adequate primary care, and you will continue using your health insurance. We're not interested in replacing it for you. So we're not going to be able to beat the price of your health insurance premium because you have that through your work or you have it through Medicaid, which is covered for you. And we're not going to be charging you less than that because you can't charge less than zero. So we tell them this is the quality that we offer to you. We give you access, convenience, we give you quality, and you let word of mouth take shape. Thank you, Google Reviews, and let families find out about the quality that you provide, your approach, how it's different. You keep preaching, you keep yelling into the void, even if it feels like no one is listening to you, it's always working. Someone is always listening to you. So you'd be shocked by the opportunities that have come my way just from me continuing to talk about what I do, why I do it, and keep showing up every day. The hard days, I show up with a smile. The easy days, I show up with a smile. The medium days, I show up with a smile. And this is the entrepreneurship, owning a business, is what Simon Sinek calls the infinite game. The infinite game is not like soccer, where it has a start time and end time and has team A and team B, and whoever scores the most goals at the end of the game wins the game and it's over. No, no, no. This is the infinite game. The goal of the infinite game is to continue to have resolve and to continue to play ad infinitum. And the way that you win in the infinite game is by continuing to play. The one who quits the infinite game has lost the infinite game. But the one who continues to play has won the infinite game. It's those that continue. And when you look at the rates of, we're going to go on the dark side because I like to bring both perspectives for any physicians who are interested in this model of care. There are very high peaks and there are very low valleys. So when you look at the statistics for any small business, including DPC practices, half of them will go out of business in 5 years. That's just the average. That is just the average. And then by 10 years, 90% may not survive necessarily. So it is up to us. It is incumbent on us to continue to play the game and to continue to show up and make the practices that we built as successful as we can be, so that we can have the next generation of physicians see us as a vision board, see us as role models for what's possible. And also, while I was doing my research, I encountered a wonderful podcast called My DPC Story. I also used this podcast in the very early days of my practice, in years 1 and 2, partially for years 3, and now back again. We're going to hit our 4th anniversary next year, to motivate me and to keep me going and to know what approaches, what tactics have these wonderfully resourceful doctors done. The key to keep you going is that you have to continue to feel motivated. You have to feel like it's possible. And whenever anyone asks you, well, have you ever failed in life? We've all failed, of course. And we think about, well, what's the reason why we failed? Well, we come up with excuses. We say, I didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough this. I didn't have enough that. When in reality, that's all wrong. That's not why we fail. Whenever we don't succeed on a particular task, we lack resourcefulness, the ability to make something out of a very difficult situation, to learn from it. And when you're an entrepreneur, when you're in a sink or swim environment, you have to be very creative and continue to be creative and continue to be innovative. But you have to take very good care of your mind, because if you're if you're overworked, if you're exhausted, you will not be creative. The creativity juice will not be flowing through you if the energy, if that ATP isn't popping. So I hope that answers your question.
And more. So with that, when you and Nitin were connecting and he was helping you specifically in the state of New York, at what point did you guys decide, hey, this might actually be a good idea to do a partnership rather than opening your own clinic?
Yeah, so that was actually something that he proposed. He had that idea. Vlad, we can partner together and we can have you grow in the Staten Island location. And I said, absolutely, yes, because one thing that I knew was that I was going to need all the help I could get since I have no experience in running a business. No one in my family has any experience in running a business. But Nitin has a vision. He wants the name River Towns to be a name that is a brand to stand for quality. And I respect that immensely because this was the whole reason for my moral injury, that I felt like I wasn't doing quality care. And I saw the model that he was doing where he was in New York. I wanted to do the exact same model. I wanted to have families get the same benefits, get the same level of quality care, accessibility, all of it exactly the same. Then I learned a big lesson. The people living in Westchester, New York, where Nitin has his practice, are not the same people living in Staten Island, New York. They have different tastes. They have different preferences. They have different ways of speaking. They have different ways of thinking. Both are beautiful and wonderful, but it required somewhat of a different approach to market my practice here on Staten Island than was done in Westchester. So that's one thing that I had to come to terms with, and I'm glad that I did. There was one point in a year and a half ago when I started off, I saw the special needs community was begging for quality care on Staten Island. So I decided to go into the world of autism evaluations and train myself to become a diagnostician because I had so much experience with children on the spectrum as a pediatrician. And it's been great ever since. It has changed the face of my practice. When I started focusing on talking about the special needs community, and how the quality that I provide can really impact and change their life. All of a sudden, both children within the special needs community and outside the special needs community were more interested in looking into direct primary care here on Staten Island. So I'm glad I found a message that resonated because you never know. This is what entrepreneurship and business is. You never know what will work until you try it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you to Spruce Health for supporting the My DPC Story podcast. The ways we communicate have changed dramatically over the past decades, but technology and tools in healthcare have not kept pace. Patients want more access and digital convenience, as well as the ability to text their care teams. Care teams are inundated with more communication and rising expectations, but are still using tools and technology stuck in prior decades. Spruce Health created a solution for the tech-forward DPC practice by creating a communication product designed to serve both the patient and the doctor through intuitive HIPAA-compliant workflows, tagging, scheduled messages, and triage templates ready for use, whether you're on your phone or in the exam room. New users get 20% off for the first 12 months of a paid plan with code MARYAL20. That's MARYAL20. So check out Spruce Health today at sprucehealth.com or check out the link in the show notes. When you talk about that the marketing and branding of your clinic was representative of the quality of Rivertown's Peds in its original form, but then you're bringing a separate branch to the Staten Island area. When you thought about, oh, okay, cool, this is what Nitin did, we'll do that here, what was your initial strategy? And how did you go through those exercises to think about, like, how could I make an even bigger impact while still maintaining that quality, but with a little bit of a morphing to be appropriate for Staten Island?
So the key to that was the same key that you use as a physician every day. You can't just hear what people are saying. You have to really listen and understand them and see their point of view. So I was hearing before I even considered doing autism testing. It's very hard for kids to get evaluated. We need someone who has an expert in this. We feel like doctors here don't have expertise in this. It's very hard to get our child evaluated. I kept hearing the same message over and over and over. And the message that I was bringing out, I was talking about what I've always been trained in general pediatrics. I was speaking about newborns. I was talking about breastfeeding. I'm a lactation counselor. I was speaking about Pfiff disease and hand, foot, and mouth disease. When you put those topics out there on social media, yeah, you get a little bit of interest. But then we had a post talking about autism, and that was a huge hit and success. And all of a sudden, people started like, oh my goodness, are you a developmental pediatrician? We have been searching high and low for someone like you. And then this is what the people want. I love working with all children, children with special needs. If those are the families that are hearing my message and are most interested in, I am more than happy to accommodate and make them as comfortable in my practice as humanly possible. When you think about the DBC model, right, for child with special needs, first, they're scared going to the doctor's office. In my office, I only have one child here at a time with an hour time blocked off. And we don't go into the exam room. I don't have a waiting room, so I have a playroom. Imagine this child is scared, thinks they're going to the doctor's office. They come into the office. They see toys right away. They don't see anyone else there. They see toys. They start playing. I come out to the playroom, I call it, and I start talking to the family, and I start the visit right there. And their child is getting comfortable, and they're not pressured or rushed. There's no urgency of getting them in and getting them out because we have so much more time. I can be more calm. I don't have to rush. I don't have to think about the million ICD codes I have to decode for this visit. None of that applies. It's just a natural welcome to my house. Have a seat, have some tea, have some coffee. Let us talk about your child while I observe them playing and try to become their friend and have them enjoy being in the office.
It's one of the hardest things to do in fee-for-service, especially when you're limited to 15 minutes or less. But yes, like when it comes to babies and kids who are moving and watching how they move, watching how they interact with stuff, it's like when you're in this room with, and I know that absolutely, there is argument for like what space do you need to open DPC? You don't. You can use your stethoscope and do home visits or telemedicine, fine. But there is definitely a reason for having space in particular for these types of interactions. Did your message change in terms of like your elevator pitch when people would contact you to join the practice?
Yes. Yes. My elevator pitch did have to evolve. I had to start speaking with families from their perspective on a doctor because every family has their own list of priorities in different orders of what they're looking for with the physician. I learned to respect that more. Rather than telling everyone the same canned speech, I had to adjust what I'm saying and what I'm highlighting about the practice. And I am a very type I personality on the DISC personality, a behavioral profile, which is the influencer type. I am a very outgoing, very bubbly, love to go off on tangents about social matters that have nothing to do with the topic at hand, very loud, and that can be scary for people. So the lesson that I learned was to calm it down, slow it down, don't scare people because it's coming from a good place. And you want to have someone feel that what you're offering them at the end of the day is not no waiting room, the doctor's cell number, the house call, the 1 hour appointment. That's not what I'm really offering you. What I'm really offering you is peace of mind, knowing that when you went in there, you got exactly what you wanted and you knew it was top quality stuff. When you're out of there, you feel way better about yourself. This is one thing. Recently, I had a phone call about from where a child with special needs, and the mother told me these exact words. I quote, "Every time I would leave my pediatrician's office, I felt worse than when I went in there because I had no support. I had no referrals. They did not understand my child. They acted as if they did not even care." And that was very heartbreaking to hear. And I hear these stories every day. And this is why I continue to do what I do, no matter how difficult it is. I continue to do it because medicine shouldn't be a nightmare. Medicine is a very, very noble profession. But because of outside influences, it has no longer become as noble. One outside influence in particular, since I'm a type I and I've had to change my message, I'm going to go off on a tangent right now. For example, venture capital is the venom that is killing medicine. It has no place anywhere within a 10-foot pole, 100-foot pole, or a 1,000-foot pole of a healthcare facility. The priorities of venture capital are all about income. Period. End of story. No doubts about it. No matter what flowery stories they want to tell you, the bottom line is how much money we can get when we flip this practice and sell it off. There's only one end prime objective. What happens to the physicians, nurse practitioners, families, nurses, medical assistants? They could not care less about you. They will walk over your dead body and not even cry about it. Okay? They are invading all of the country with buying up everyone's, and recently accelerated invasion right here on Staten Island. I will not name them, but they know who they are. And I want them to know that I will never be interested in having anything to do with a private equity in healthcare. I am not your ally. Do not look to me, as I'm not your friend.
It's so ironic that this is the day also that the Federal Trade Commission just had testimony from multiple doctors, lawyers, allies for healthcare focused on what are the after effects of private equity in healthcare from people who are physicians who have been in hospitals where one of the people sharing was a physician who talked about how a patient who was having a stroke was admitted and there was no one on staff to be able to manage the stroke patient, but they still admitted the patient. What is your population comprised of in terms of like age groups, insurance types in your practice? What are some of the demographics that you can share with us?
So the demographics of the families in my community, so Staten Island, historically, famously, has been a very large proportion of the population with, or larger, I guess, relative to the total size of the population, of public city workers. So people like firefighters, police officers, teachers, paraprofessionals, people that work for the Department of Education, Department of Sanitation, Transit Authority. There's a lot of interest from those families that come to my practice. We also have a growing, diverse population from all over the world, honestly. There is a large number of people who are moving from Brooklyn, which is one of the most diverse places in the world. One day, I'll have a family that comes in and only speaks English. The next day, I'll have a family that only speaks Russian. We have a large Russian population on Staten Island as well. And so I have to speak with them only in Russian. And then the third day, another child will come in that only speaks Spanish. So I have to speak with them only in Spanish. And since I'm fluent in all three languages, it's a blast. It is. Those are the top three languages here. And maybe someday I'll add Italian to my repertoire to make it really interesting, because we do have some people on Staten Island speaking Italian. I love living here more and more every day. And I want quality medicine to be represented here in pediatrics. And I'm excited that I was the first pediatric DPC practice in all five boroughs. There were other concierge medicine offices, yes, but none that do DPC. So it was an honor to do that. And Nitin came before me as far as the state is concerned. But he had his practice in 2 years. I launched in 2021. He had a practice launch in 2018, so 3 years before me.
So we've talked about how like your, when people call, your verbiage has changed, but how did you even get known in your community for people to hear your message?
So I'm going to quote Nitin on this. You have to pound the pavement. We live in New York City. We have massive, massive healthcare corporations, hospitals, who own a lot of primary care facilities, who have billboards, who have bus ads, who will crush your Google ad if you try to compete against them. So the answer as a little fish in a big pond is to differentiate yourself and to use a different tactic and be present and network. So yes, I also worked with Nitin's marketing company that has helped him to grow, to fine tune the message, to make sure that people were hearing the message repeatedly on social media, because social media is a basically free form of advertising. You just have to give people what they want. Like if you're boring on social media, nobody's going to follow you. So if all you talk about is yourself, it's not that interesting. You have to give them what they want to hear, because everyone is tuned into the same radio station, the WIIFM, what's in it for me. If it doesn't help me, I don't care about you or your social media. So I had to think about, well, what's in it for the people that follow me? What value can I give people? So I started doing things like I created a newsletter where I would give health tips for families, for their kids. One health tip, for example, don't use a Q-tip in your child's ear because you're going to push the earwax in there. If the Q-tip's not meant to clean it, things like that. So things that we know and we talk about all the time, but we constantly get this question from family, like, let me just put it in an email newsletter out there. I have a TikTok, an Instagram, a Facebook, a LinkedIn account. Now I have a YouTube channel. You have to leverage social media properly and know what others in your area are talking about, what families are asking you about, and ask those questions. And then, so like I said, sat down with a small community. So the Chamber of Commerce was instrumental in an unknown pediatrician basically coming in, opening his own practice. And who wants to try a DPC membership model? The Chamber of Commerce stepped up and they helped for me to do a ribbon cutting and grand opening. They helped get the word out amongst the members. Then we had other business networking groups. There was the Staten Island Economic Development Council, SIEDC, that I joined for a little while and met the members there. All other business owners, realtors. Did you know, you probably know this, that 30% of all real estate agents in the country at any given point are uninsured? So I learned that. That was a very interesting fact, because I mean, as a pediatric doctor, even when the parents are uninsured in my city, the kids still get Medicaid. So it's just out of insurance. So kids are not going to be uninsured. But I thought that was fascinating to hear, because one of the events that I went to was a meeting of realtors. And they asked me to go up there and to give a presentation. And I thought to myself, well, what do you want me to tell to a bunch of realtors? I'm a pediatrician. What does that have to do with it? And then I thought, wait a minute. Let's talk about Wellness Realty. Let's talk about these pediatricians. I mean, these real estate agents can focus on the social determinants of health in the home that you live will impact your child's health outcomes and your personal health outcomes. And they loved it. They ate that speech up. Like, I know I can talk about this all day. It's a blast. So getting to meet people in different industries that I never thought I would have had so much in common with, but these are now my like blood brothers and sisters in event planning and journalism and marketing companies and electricians, all types of contractors. I refer business to them. They refer business to me. We're all in it together. They get to meet me as a person. I get up on stage. I also joined a wonderful organization, which is near and dear to my heart, which focuses on empowering individuals on the autism spectrum, called the Grace Foundation. And they welcomed me as a board member with open arms. And I got to meet these other board members who are amazing human beings and all the things that they accomplish. It's amazing when you put yourself out there, when you, I'm type I, going to parties and talking to people, that's my bread and butter. Like, this is what I was born to do. This, like, I love talking to people. You can't get me to stop talking. So when Nitin told me, Vlad, you have to go pound pavement, you have to go door to door to the different offices, I'm like, sure, I would love to do that. So I was off and running, off to the races. And then little by little, my name got around. Then I started asking people for Google reviews, because I learned something. I asked family. So you're expecting a baby? Yes, I am. Did your OBGYN recommend any pediatrician for you? Like, no, they said you can Google it and see, pick your favorite one there. Here's a list. They wouldn't have a preference for any of them, which worked to my advantage because I started saying all of my families that work with me, hey, what did you think of your experience? Would you like to leave a Google review for us? I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And now I have the top rated doctor in my area, thanks to the Google reviews, and I'm just persistently asking for them. And it helps a lot. Like from those reviews, to this day, it's an evergreen thing. You do it once and it gets you calls nonstop. Every week I'm fielding 5 to 6 inquiries for new families, trying to meet. And then the DPC community stepped up and supported me as well. So DPC Pediatricians, we have a Facebook group and we say, hey, we have family moving here. Does anyone work there? Hey, we have family there. Anyone over there? I got a family from Florida moving to me, and I have a family that's moving from my area to Virginia, and I found a doctor for them today on the Facebook group that would love to work with them. So we have families moving all the time, and it's appropriate and acceptable. And just everything that I do, I consider marketing. So I give high-quality care. I review evidence-based medicine. I take my time. I play with kids. I show my personality. This is all marketing. Like it doesn't cost a penny to do high quality marketing. It's all about elbow grease and your resourcefulness. I spoke to anyone who would listen. Hey, you know what I do? I help improve the lives of parents and their children. And then that would open up the door to more questions. Oh, well, how do you do that? What do you do? Well, I'm a DPC pediatrician. I practice concierge care, concierge level care for your families. And I get to make house calls. Oh, wow. We thought this was an old dying concept. So no one's ever done this for 50 years now. And you're telling us you do this? So I would go to as many events as would have me before I get kicked out and talk about what I do and met people. And you never really know who values high quality care until they actually sign up for your practice. It has nothing to do really, I find, with their income directly. It's more about their interest and putting their money where their mouth is. There will be people who drive very fancy, very expensive cars that would never even consider a DPC membership for their children because they don't see the value in it. And I don't blame them. Maybe they don't have those kind of needs. Maybe they don't want to talk to the doctor. It's totally fine. Not every patient is meant for every doctor. We have personalities. We have our approaches to the world. That's totally cool. I'm 100% on board with that. But the first negative thought, since humans have a negativity bias, we like to think of the worst scenario first. The first thought I had when I opened my practice was, people are going to think I'm greedy because I don't take insurance. And right away, I said, no, that's ridiculous and silly because some of the first families that came to me were on Medicaid and they remembered me because I used to take care of their kids. They say, you took care of us years ago and there's no one like you. And we don't care if you charge a monthly fee. We want to be your patients. We don't really care what the fee is. The fee is a detail. There's cake and then there's icing on the cake. The cake is the quality care you provide. And the icing on the cake is just a minor detail. I'd also charge this. Okay, whatever. That's the end of our conversations are, this is what I charge. The beginning of our conversation is what I can do for you. What's in it for you to be a member in my practice? And I've gotten into practice some very, very specialized things that I would have never done in the fee-for-service model. I'm talking about, for example, so doing autism testing. You generally have to go through a fellowship in the fee-for-service model to start doing autism testing and be a behavioral doc. I'm talking about things like spending 26 hours over the course of 6 months with every 2-week meetings with a child to discuss weight management and healthy weight and the habits that are related to that. And just continuing to build it I've basically been a wellness coach for this family. Going to make a house visit to a child who is not ambulatory, who can literally not leave the house, who becomes extremely aggressive, and being able to go to their home, do blood draws, do their testing, have them sign, sign their forms that would allow them access to public resources that their own pediatrician didn't want to sign forms for, because the child had so much anxiety from leaving the house relative to the COVID pandemic. And they said there is no one else who would come to our house. Like, if he was an adult, there are adult doctors within the Medicare system that could make home calls for seniors. Fine. For children, doesn't exist. It's an unheard of model. And it would not have existed if I always think to myself, okay, what would happen in the world if I closed my practice tomorrow? And all the people that I've helped would have just continued suffering. And I'm not cool with that. That's not morally okay. I got to keep going, no matter how hard it is. And it's not easy. I don't want you to think that at all it's easy. Every individual DPC doctor that I've spoken to or met has a unique story. If you met one DPC, you met one DPC. They have their own rates of growth. So the rate of growth of a pediatric DPC is very different than the rate of growth of a family medicine practice. They have their own rates of like how many families may contact you in a given week. What I've experienced, and you tell me if this has been the case, in pediatrics, 10% of your total panel will want to see you within a given week. The kind of needs and concerns they have for the children are different. Then you look around and you see some amazing rock stars like Lauren Hughes. God bless her. She was recruiting and marketing before the day she even opened up. So on day one, she was rocking and rolling. Families were not going to. That was not my experience. I'll tell you that right now. There was a lot of clawing and grabbing and blood, sweat, and tears that went into growing the practice after I opened my doors. I wish I would have considered doing what Lauren was doing prior to opening her practice. But you live and you learn. I had to learn some skills in order to grow my business. And one lesson that I've learned over the past 3 years is that my business is only going to be as large as my skill levels are. So if I need to grow, there is a certain skill that I need to develop. There is a certain lesson that I need to learn. Then my practice will grow. If I continue to be the same version of myself this year that I was last year, I'm going to get the same version of my business this year that I had last year. It's not going to change. So becoming a lifelong learner, which we committed to as doctors anyway, adding business skills of marketing, of communicating, of listening, of selling. Selling is not a dirty word. Selling just helps explain the vision that you have of how you can help someone to that person. That's all selling is. It's not convincing them. It's not tricking them or anything. It's telling them, this is what I offer. This is what you need. Do you think that you'd want to work with me? That's what selling is basically it. And the more people you speak to, the more you offer it to, the more successful you'd be. You have to get a lot of no's before you get a yes. That is the default experience of the majority of entrepreneurs that I've spoken to in many fields. Like that they have to, if you don't have enough, you have to fail enough times to be successful, as the saying goes. And the road to success starts out, you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck, and then you get success. That's how you spell success. So that has been my experience. I felt like I've sucked in the beginning. And if we don't persist, if we don't understand that we're playing an infinite game, if we don't respect the growth process as a person, we won't succeed. So it's very important to look at it from the perspective of when your child first learns how to walk. If they fell down, if we said, oh, you fell down, we should stop trying to learn how to walk. You should give up right here and now. It's over for you. You'll never walk. But no, we celebrate it. Good job taking your first steps and trying. Now let's get back up and do it again. You got to do the same thing. The quicker you bounce back from any setbacks, the more likely you are to succeed.
So with that, thank you so much, Dr. Bryev, for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It has been a true pleasure and honor. I have been a longtime fan, longtime listener, and admirer of your podcast. And I want to thank you for all that you do, for keeping me going and motivating me, and for inspiring future DPC physicians to carry the torch forward and to show them that we are just like them.
For joining us for another episode of My DPC Story, highlighting the physician experience in the world of direct primary care. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you want to dive deeper into the direct primary care movement, consider joining our MyDPC Story Patreon community. Here, you'll have access to exclusive content, including more interview topics and much more. Don't forget to subscribe to MyDPC Story on your podcast feed and follow us on social media as well. If you're able, I'd greatly appreciate if you could leave us a review. It helps others to find the podcast. Until next time, stay informed, stay healthy, and keep advocating for DPC. Read more about DPC news on the daily at dpcnews.com. Until next week, this is Marielle Conception.